Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Oh, welcome to Call to Freedom. It's such a delight to have you join me today. There is blessing in following your heart, because your heart has so much to do with your spirit. And when you feel like something is going one way or the other, you're going to go with it, because you believe that God is telling you to do it. God works out his will for your life through the desires he puts there in your heart. And I want to know his thoughts. I want to know his ways, learn his ways so much more than I have already. Even all the years that I've been on this earth, I want to learn his thoughts and learn his ways. Praise the Lord. I got such a great little letter from a friend, a listener, and it's so precious. I just had to laugh out loud when I read it. She says, since I don't send much money and I may move, I've thought of discontinuing receiving your newsletter, but I like it too much. Thank you for your newsletter. Keep it coming. And she sends an offering every once in a while. That's all I need. Whatever you send is so helpful. And do you know who's blessed in the process? You are. When you're giving, I don't care the amount. God knows your pocketbook. He knows your bank account. Whatever you're sending to Good Ground Ministry, like Call to Freedom, oh, you are blessed in the process. And she was saying how she enjoyed the article on, is there a bully in your house? Now, I found this among Darren's things. He had been involved with a marriage that was disintegrating in his sight, and he knew this man from the 90s. And I'm so glad I found this article, because it's continuing next month. So if you haven't opened your newsletter, your Freedom Express newsletter, open it and read that first part of the article, because even Darren is, I don't think he's at his wit's end, because he knows what to present to this man. But there are real issues involving this marriage and what is going to happen to this marriage. So I hope you're reading that article. Oh, and I'm just so grateful to be able to bring this newsletter to you every month. It's been a blessing of mine since Darren and I started sending newsletters. And it does take hours collecting articles and realizing what God thinks is important for you. Not for me, but what is going to be important for the reader. And that's why I put Darren's article, is there a bully in your house? Because in so many of your homes, and you may be listening today, there's someone who is manipulating and controlling the issue. So I hope you are. If you would like a newsletter, I can send it to you after the program. If you'd like to, just call me at 1-877-917-7256 and ask for that newsletter, is there a bully in your house? Or just the April newsletter is all I need to know. So God bless you. I'm glad you like it too much. And it's wonderful to know that even the Bible insert cards, the little word power for every hour insert cards, are being read by you. The Bible is being read by you. I have one dear friend that pulled out her little insert card for March at our Bible study on Thursday. It was totally marked up. I mean, felt marker all over the place. And I was just delighted. I was is just so delighted by the fact that you're getting serious about the Word of God. That's our only answer, my friends. That's the only answer. Let's do the Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. You are blessed to dispense. You are blessed to give. Because once you start giving, do you know what God does? He multiplies. God never subtracts. He doesn't even add. He multiplies. He's a multiplier of your giving. And in him you live and move and have your being. Oh, we're going to go into a slightly different direction this week and probably the next couple of weeks by memorizing a whole chapter. I was just reading this chapter this weekend, and it's like the Lord said, oh, I want you to do this. I want you and your listeners to memorize this chapter. Now, it's not Psalm 119, so don't worry about that. I can just see some of you. Psalm 119, I'm supposed to memorize that? Oh, my goodness. This psalm gives a vivid description of the character of God and how he watches over us. So beautiful. It's Psalm 121, all right? And we're just going to learn the first two verses this week and then go on into the rest of the psalm. Oh, this is such a precious psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And in the Message translation, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. You know what the enemies of Israel did during those days? They had their idols and their temples at the top of the mountains. That's where they worshiped. And some churches you know of in the United States, they build their churches on the high place in the cities. So we know that that's not where God is, not on this earth. I mean, he's in each one of you. You are temple of Holy Spirit, but it's not in the mountains, the physical mountains. It's in God himself. In the Passion, Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realized that our true help and protection come only from the Lord, our Creator who made the heavens and earth. Hallelujah. In the Passion Translation, the heading for this chapter, Psalm 121, begins with the words, a song to take you higher. I want you to go higher, friend. I really do. A song to take you higher. Or in a lot of translations, it just has titled a song of ascent. That's going up higher. Or a song of stairway. It is likely these 15 songs, and we call them psalms, but they sang them when David was alive, are on the 15 steps that would take the worshiper to get into the temple. And on each step, they would stop to worship and sing the corresponding psalm as they went up higher into the worship of God. Isn't that beautiful? And others believe they were songs sung as David brought up the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Glory to Jerusalem. Either one, I think, are just glorious things to think about when we're memorizing. So we're going to go into that. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 for this week. My confession for today by Rick Renner. I confess that I am not substandard, second rate, low grade, or inferior. I am filled with the Spirit of God, and I have the call of God on my life. Even if my gifts and talents seem small in comparison to others, I have all that I need in order to do what God has asked me to do. God wants to use me to baffle the know-it-alls and to bewilder people who are more talented than I, but who do not know or trust in the Lord. Oh, that's everything, friends. That's everything. He wants to get glory because of what he does through me and through you. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Oh, when I think of what God has done for me, I become like clay in the potter's hand, as Jeremiah 18 is talking about, being clay and just saying, Lord, do with me what you want to do. When I read where God uses the weak to baffle those who think they're so high and mighty, I think of David, people like David. Just taking a lunch. I was talking about that. Kimberly was teaching on Wednesday, and I mentioned this on Wednesday. What his assignment was, what his mission was, his father fixed lunch for his brothers, and he was just taking lunch to his brothers. He wasn't thinking of anything more than that, his lunch. And he had prepared, his father had prepared for his brothers, and his brothers were quaking and quivering under the powerful mockings of the Philistines, and they had been doing that for 40 days. He didn't have any idea what would transpire that day, because this teenage boy defied the enemy of God, and Goliath got his lunch that day. And what about Esther? Here, the Jewish people were looking at persecution and inevitable extinction of their race. Who did God use? Did he equip some of the strong men among the captives to overthrow the Persian Empire? No, no. God used a beautiful Jewish slave girl who through God's mighty hands became Queen Esther. Oh, one person, folks. One person. God uses people. One individual can make such a difference. It can make a total difference. You can make a difference in your day and in your friends' days and people around you. And as Mordecai said to Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Yep, God had intended that. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And you hear this little phrase floating around every once in a while, for such a time as this. You are here in this last generation for such a time as this. Praise God. She listened to her uncle and took a chance that the king would hear her plea for her people. Glory to God in the highest, and God delivered them. And today we face a similar state of affairs in the United States. It seems like with every bill that's signed and becoming a law, we have fewer freedoms. And you may think that you're the only one person, but God in the Bible can see how many one persons that he has assigned to bring deliverance to his people. Think of Gideon, who gathered together 300 men to destroy the Midianites. Now, he started out with 30,000, but then it dwindled. It dwindled and it dwindled. And he wound up with 300 men who defeated the Midianites. And Joseph, who brought physical food to his people and also freedom to Israel. Joseph was going out to see what his brothers were doing, wound up in a dungeon for 13 years, and God fulfilled that absolute wonderful promise and the dream that Joseph had had. And Moses, one man whom God called from a burning bush. Oh, I just believe that these people are examples for us to look to, that we can be used by God in this time for such a time as this. Paul says, and he was one man. Oh, look at all the churches he established in Asia Minor. Not even in Israel, but in Asia Minor. Ephesus and Galatia and Philippi and all the Colossae. All these wonderful idolatrous cities. But they must have been beautiful, because some of the temples are still standing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 21, it seems to me that God has put us here to bear his message on stage in a theater in which no one wants to buy a ticket. Oh, we're something everyone stands around and stares at like an accident in the street. We're the Messiah's misfits. You might be sure of yourselves, but we live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties. You might be well thought of by others, but we're mostly kicked around. Much of the time, we don't even have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes. We get doors slammed in our faces, and we pick up odd jobs anywhere we can to eke out a living. That's Paul. And he and Priscilla and Aquila, you remember, made tents in their time when they needed money. And their missions of reaching the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ had to quit for a while because they had to make a living. When they call us names, we say, God bless you. When they spread rumors about us, we put in a good word for them. We're treated like garbage, potato peelings from the culture's kitchen, and it's not getting any better. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 4 says, I'm not writing all this as the shame of the neighborhood just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you and want you to grow up well, not spoiled. Now, we don't know. It seems like Paul never got married. He never had children, but he realizes and believes that the people he was winning for Jesus Christ and raising up in churches, he regarded himself as a father. Yes, I'm writing as a father to you, my children. Verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 4 says, there are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. Ah, oh, there it is. I became your father. And I love what the Passion says here in the 15th verse of 1 Corinthians 4. For although you could have countless babysitters in Christ, yeah, babysitters, people just thinking they are assigned to you to give you criticism, oh, telling you what you're doing wrong. Okay, there it is. Telling you what you're doing wrong. You don't have many fathers who correct you in love. That's it. Folks, that's it, in love. Sometimes when I did something wrong when I was growing up on the farm, all that my earthly father had to do was to look at me with those beautiful light blue eyes, and I would just crumble and melt in correction of his love. I mean, it was his love. I knew he loved me, and boy, when it came time that he needed to correct me, and I never did get a spanking from my dad, but I did a lot of stupid things, and all he had to do was look at me. Wow, I miss that. The shame is gone. I've been set free. The Revised Amazing Grace by Chris Tomlin really describes how God has changed my heart from one of shame to a heart of victory because of Jesus' sacrifice. It says, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, and he's promised good to you. As a reader of the Bible, you see so many promises of God, and he will accomplish what he has said he will do. God has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. About a week ago, I was at the grocery store, and I was putting the groceries into one of the bags I had brought into the grocery store. You know, they don't use plastic bags anymore in Denver. That's still a shock to Kimberly. And as I lifted a jar of Nellie's green bean salad, I love that. I love Nellie's. And I buy her green beans and then her red beets in little jars, in little glass jars. Well, as I was reaching over from the conveyor belt and the glass jar hit the cart rail, you know what happened? Green beans all over the counter and onto the floor. Oh, my goodness. And people were behind me. Oh, yes. Now, before this, oh, I would have been so humiliated, and I would have apologized. And I did say, oh, I'm so sorry. But that it ended with that. And Syed, my favorite clerk, got the maintenance man who was right there to come over with a dustpan and cloths and paper towels. And very soon it was all cleaned up. And even Syed and the customer behind me had smiles on their faces because I didn't give in to this frowned brow and this sad, sullen look. No more. A smile and a smile and a smile. And oh, that spirit of shame had me feeling humiliated for years. But I realized that Jesus became my shame on the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. I find that in Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12, it says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, strip down, start running, and never quit. When you see the cloud of witnesses surrounding you and interceding for you and cheering you on, you can go and strip down like Peter did when he got out of his boat and saw it was Jesus, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes, this is verse 2, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Learn his thoughts and his ways, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. And here it is, folks, in this wonderful verse of scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 2. He put up with the cross. He put up with the shame. He became the shame on the cross that would have involved you and me. But I no longer have shame. I no longer have condemnation. That's what Romans 8 verse 1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation, no guilt, no inferiority, no unworthiness in Jesus Christ, no fear. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside his Father, God Almighty. When you find yourselves weary in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls and revive you with his energy. We no longer need to struggle in this life. Praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. Oh, you never change, God. You remain the Holy One and my unfailing love. You are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and I sing for you. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. For you and me, folks, I can't understand. Oh, you are my all in all, Father God. Here's the Gaither Vocal Band.
Thank you.
God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Lord Jesus. And I want this program, Call to Freedom, I want this radio program to always be lifting up your name and giving you all the glory. My friend, knowing that God loves you is a powerful realization in grasping the magnitude of God's grace in your life. When you exchange your knowledge about God to knowing that God loves you, you will never be the same. Never be the same in Jesus' name. When you were at your wit's end, God came through for you. You thought you were dead in the water, and then you opened your eyes, and a resurrection of sorts occurred. That's right, in each and every one of us. God gave you peace when you should have been wringing your hands and yelling for the worldly system to come to your aid. Now you acknowledge that he's a God who is there for you. He will never leave you. He's got a strong grip on you. And do you know what? Do you want to see the devil run? Just start singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. We're his little ones. Many times Jesus called us children. And now Paul in 1 Corinthians 4 calls us children. So don't be afraid of your adversary, the devil. He's a defeated foe and he knows it. And that's why he's so hopping mad. But listen up. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. And those who have insight will give understanding to the many. We are here to give understanding to the many, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to have a wonderful lesson tomorrow, the Lord willing, unless he calls us all home. And then on Wednesdays, Kimberly comes and teaches us. Thank you so much for all that you do for Call to Freedom, for your giving and for your prayers. I love you. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.